You're listening to Around Comics, episode 153.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the Comic Book Roundtable. I'm Christopher Niesman.
Oh, I'm Mike Norton.
I don't like introducing myself, but I'm Scotty fucking Young.
Ain't a damn thing changed.
And I am Brian Salazar.
And we're having a hell of a fucking time tonight.
We're having a tough...
This is bullshit.
Well, technical difficulties happen, so
it's already Scotty. It's Sunday.
The world's not
here.
A perfect place.
Everybody's angry.
It's going to be a very angry podcast.
Fuck everyone!
This program is not fucking working.
I'm not used to being the happy one out of the group.
Mike, you're here to bring us up tonight.
That's not cool.
Up with people.
I don't like that pressure.
It's too much to handle, huh?
No, I don't like it.
Tom's not here. Tom's up in...
Where the
up in,
fuck is Tom?
He is in Michigan.
He's the glue that holds everything together.
He's not even glue.
He's like blue face.
He's like a barely sticky tape.
He's like that paste they give you in kindergarten that never really keeps everything together. Makes me so mad. It's like, why can't I have the Elmer's glue? Why do you treat me like a child?
He's flour and water. Alright, well, do want to let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. Just don't go up Western Avenue whenever there's a big hole.
We don't need traffic reports. We don't really. It's not really. Nobody's.
You were very upset because I was late.
I appreciated it.
Mike's like,
help me get out of a bind.
And also want to let the...
Would you like to tell people about the weather?
Well, we're...
Skies are overcast. Yeah.
Tonight is going to be dark, followed by light. Do want to let people know about our edutainment center. Is that what we're calling it this week?
Sure.
Sure, okay. The monthly edutainment center.
Is that what we're calling it?
I don't know.
Just call it the club.
Oh, yeah. We're just
motherfucker.
That's right.
He's
right.
Really mad.
Just the club.
Gosh, you don't get your way, and it's like...
Well, we've been here for 2 fucking hours trying to get your
dinner,
your Toshiba.
And, hey, lay off the free Toshiba.
The club is
a
monthly selection of one trade paperback, one movie, and one music selection.
Four
and,
pissed off,
angry people.
And hopefully everybody listening out there gets to play along, and then at the end of the month we will record an episode where we dissect those selections. And this month was my pick.
Yes.
And the music selection was the Drive-By Truckers Southern Rock Opera.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was The Devil's Backbone by Guillermo del Toro. Yeah. And the trade is Point Blank by Ed Brubaker. And our good friends over at In Stock Trades are offering that up at a hefty discount. And now's a good time to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection, Point Blank, to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 35% off the cover price. Get your copy today for $9.72. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essential showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discount prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free.
Hey.
Yay!
$10. Can't beat it.
Yay!
Good stuff. All right.
Yeah.
What are you two doing?
I'm trying to upload a program.
A what?
A program.
To your MacBook?
Yes.
It's not working?
The program is. It's not my MacBook.
I just was asking if it was working. I didn't ask if it was
trying to
the MacBook. Laptop. I own a Mac. I'm a Mac guy.
Oh, yes. I forgot.
I've used both.
This is fucking show.
By computer lingual. By sexual.
You're scaring me.
He's bi.
I'm bi.
Ooh, yeah, I like that
shit.
thought you might.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. It is time for Top of the Stack.
What? Top of the Stack.
That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. And there's no Tom Caters here this week, so we'll have to spin the big wheel of death to figure out who goes first.
Wheel of death. I'll go.
Okay.
How's that? My top of the stack this week is Captain Marvel with Captain Marvel's return.
What? Shazam!
And no. Brian Reed.
Wrong Captain Marvel.
Not that it's Shazam. Yeah, Captain Marvel. Marvel.
They'll sue your ass if you use Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel. For the company that you work for.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Brian Reed wrote it, and Lee Weeks did
really?
The art. Yeah, yeah. And it was really good.
It was pretty, man.
Is it here?
No, he sold out.
And he ordered a lot of copies.
Yeah, and I don't even have mine. I forgot it, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. But I did read it, and it was really good. I was very impressed with Brian Reed's thought process in what to do with Captain Marvel,
and how to make this not rape over the readers that love the death of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and what I thought he did smartly was he didn't just give a reason that Marvel was back, and he didn't just throw him back into the Marvel universe and go, oh, Captain Marvel's back, and we're just going to go and tell a regular sort of comic book story now that he's alive again.
Oh, let's go beat up bad guys.
Yeah, the whole point of this issue, at least, was Marvel trying to figure out, he realizes that he shouldn't be here, and trying to figure out how he feels about that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, by the end of it, he sort of makes up his own mind about what he's going to do with the time that he's been given again.
Marvel.
And I don't know, that's how they spell it. I don't know.
It's like saying that stupid name now. Marvel. Go ahead, Sal.
So I just thought it gave it...
It was classy.
Yeah, it gave it a nice mm-hmm. sort of emotional resonance. It gave it a reason for him to be back and not just like a silly, regular sort of comic book,
resurrection.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It gave him, because it looked at the character itself and was like, why am I here? You know, and I thought that was really smart of Ryan Reed to do that, because it when you read it, it allows you to look past the fact that maybe a lot of us don't think he should have been brought back, or however we feel about it is irregardless at this point. So he is back, and now you can, I mean, the story to me really opened itself up to allowing you to just move forward with this character, what he's dealing with as a person, and not whether or not he should be back.
And there's a sense of time with this that he's not making his dramatic return for the rest of time.
There's a short window, it seems, and eventually he realizes even that it's going to come to a head at some point. I mean, it's just a matter of almost destiny that, you know.
I liked Spider-Man's reaction. I thought it was kind of the fans' reaction whenever it's a flashback to the last battle in Civil War, and Spider-Man sees Marvel and attacks Iron Man and says, Tony, this had better not be another clone. This had better not be what you did to defile Thor. And this is somebody in the Marvel U that was a respected character in that universe by the other heroes. He was kind of the hero's hero in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what he's become now. I mean, at the time, I don't know that he ever was, you know, like when his
he was so damn popular, it wouldn't have killed him.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He was never this legendary character. After his death, he's become that. And I think, luckily, though, Brian Reed's a good enough writer that him coming back is not going to really do any damage to that. The other thing, the art was fantastic. Lee Weeks did an amazing job. He's a great artist. He's been around. I remember when he did Daredevil after the Mazzucchelli Frank Miller stuff, and I always liked his art, and I think this was some of the best of his stuff. I thought it was just fantastic, and it also gave it sort of an old school feel too.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
he's an old school kind of artist, but it was really good, and I'm glad that it was really good. I'm glad it was
one of those that you almost didn't want to open it up and read it. You're like, oh man.
Well, I mean, I said last week it was like I almost feel bad for Brian Reed because he's putting a really hard situation, but he seems to be, and I really like his work. He's a really talented writer, and
Dorn just got accosted with a lightsaber.
Am I see that lightsaber turkey commercial?
What?
I was watching TV last night, and there's this commercial, and it's about, like, Toyota trucks. But it starts out with, like, this big dinner table, and the whole family's sitting around, and there's a big turkey. And the dad's sitting there at the head of the table, and he's getting ready to carve it, and he pulls this thing out of his pocket, and it's like a little mini lightsaber. Like, he's like, hey, guys, look what I got. And he slices the turkey with a lightsaber. I'm like, what the hell? And the whole point of it was, not values, but, like, history and tradition meets, like, sci-fi. New technology of thing. I don't know. It was just kind of weird. I don't know. It was just strange that all of a sudden they used a lightsaber to cut it through. Anyway, back to...
Mar-Vell!
I don't really have much else to say about it.
I probably
wouldn't have
picked it up if Brian Reed hadn't been writing it, honestly.
Yeah, he's a good writer, and I've liked what he's done with Ms. Marvel and the initiative.
Illuminati?
He keeps... Like, he's the guy that they keep giving the books that... Could easily be friggin' awful, and I think he's doing a really good job on all of them. So, yeah. Captain Marvel,
name to watch.
There you go. Right.
Another one that I picked up mostly because of the guy writing it. Because you look at this on the stands and you're like, that should just suck. That should not be very good. And I picked it up because of the guy that's writing it, and that's Christos Gage, and really enjoyed it. And my top of the stack is House of M Avengers, number 1 of 5.
Oh, isn't House of M over?
Well, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
exactly. But the world still exists.
And, I guess. Also
so Marvel's like DC now.
Yeah, they're a multiverse. You got House of M verse.
Those guys need to quit complaining that when... Well, people complain about DC continuity.
Think it's two different ball games.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For now,
Until
you start having crossovers,
like, doesn't sound like that's happening.
You know, Marvel is you know kind of running on how many different universes now. You got the Ultimate Universe, the 616 Universe, House of M.
Ooh, I have. Speaking of 616, I'll tell the story later. But
what the fuck is 616?
It was the designation for the Marvel Universe.
It used to be a nightclub in Memphis.
But Alan Moore, I think.
It kind of came out of the Captain Britain.
I've never heard it mentioned till this last year.
Yeah,
it
wasn't really like well... it wasn't like an official thing. That sort of more like almost like the fans have taken it over of it. It was cataloged in this story, Captain Britain, because there's all these different universes. And our universe, the regular Marvel Universe, was... designated as Universe 616.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was kind of an obscure thing.
And
but
then Marvel kind of said, that didn't happen.
But it still kind of exists. Everybody just sort of refers to it
do
as 616.
Do a Wikipedia search on Marvel 616.
No. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
But I have an interesting 616 story. You want me to tell it now or you want to wait?
Go ahead.
Yeah, whip that out right now, interesting story.
Well, it's not that. Shut the fuck up, Scott. I'm listening to this other podcast, and it's called Radiolab, and it's done in
New
York.
Awesome podcast.
And it's like a science podcast, but they do a really interesting job of, like, they tell you stories that relate to whatever thing they're talking about. And the one episode was about, like, history and archaeology, and the one story was about these archaeologists who had found this huge garbage dump in, like, Egypt or I don't remember where it was at. And they pulled out all the paper from it, and they've been going through it for, like, 100 years now, and they're only, like, 1% through it. But they keep finding these little scraps of paper with things on them that, like, change history in some ways. Like, they found some of the earliest recorded sayings from Jesus Christ on these scraps of paper out of this garbage dump. But one of the things they found was the earliest documented verse in the Bible about the number of the beast, 666. But this version of it, it was 616.
And
it's the earliest version of this verse ever recorded.
So the Marvel Universe is the Antichrist.
That's the way it is.
Sweet.
That was
I knew I was the devil. God damn.
So that was it. When I listened to it, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's explaining the 616 universe is kind of like explaining who has the publishing rights to Miracle Man. So it's just better to go to Wikipedia and read it.
Nobody.
Why? Can I ask this question?
What?
Why is Wikipedia the official?
It's just the easiest.
Yeah, but it anybody can write that shit down.
Well,
so
that's
it's
why
absolutely.
It's the only place where you can go and find out any information about something as ridiculously stupid as 616.
Yeah. Right. But the information could be completely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no. Sure. There's no.
This is your future where nobody knows a goddamn thing.
Oh, whatever. Picky Wiki told me.
There are no actual true, you know.
It's weird to live in a world where somebody goes, whatever, just shut up. Go look at Wiki.
I would never use Wikipedia for anything important, but pop culture stuff.
I use it for everything. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care if I'm right or
what
wrong.
What do I do when my kids
there's no such
dying.
Thing as true.
There's a general truth to most of the stuff that's up there, but you can't. Oh, that's a whole nother
I wouldn't use it
for a whole nother day.
I
just,
you know, but.
Yeah.
I never
with conviction,
search, like,
people
legal
yeah, go
advice.
Look at, they should name it something different.
Taxes.
Yeah. I need to know how to do my taxes.
Wikipedia.
It
just sounds like a cartoon.
Maybe we should wiki
I think it's
why
Australian.
It's wiki.
I bet you there's a
oh,
kind of young.
Oh, it's Australian?
I think,
so. Okay.
I don't hold me to it, because that's what I wrote in their Wikipedia
entry. There's a guy.
But I decided that they're Australian people, and they decided to...
Wiki.
Because it was some kind of weird
there's
thing.
A Scotty Young entry in Wikipedia.
Is there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Mike Norton one. I didn't know there was.
There's a Mike Norton.
I didn't know there was
I keep
one.
Putting them in there. I think all my friends
he's
are...
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, but that, it's a good example, because I was reading it, and it's changed. I was reading mine, and it's very short. It says Mike Norton worked on this. And then I noticed
by
the
Keith
other
Cunningham.
Day, because Comic News Insider asked me for a bio, so...
Went to Wikipedia.
I went to Wikipedia to see what they said.
For your own bio.
Like, that's
I don't
good.
Like writing about myself. But I went there, and it said, and it had what I remember, and then it said, he is really good, and something like, you should buy his stuff, or something like that. I was like, somebody just put that in there. It's something to that effect.
Please buy the Atom. I think is what
it's
called.
It's like,
welcome to the future,
that doesn't
Mike.
Sound
welcome
professional.
To the that's a crazy bio. And he's good, too.
Yeah, it was sort of like that. It's like,
people would love to learn from him.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Would love
he's a great
to...
artist, and people would love to learn from him. It's like,
well, that's
you
fact,
would find
right?
that.
That's, I think that's
fact.
Sure,
you find
that's
that in
fact.
An encyclopedia.
That's got Keith Cunningham written all
what's
over it, Mike.
I really don't think I have one.
Yeah, you do. I've been to it.
Really?
I'm.
Is it huge? Like 12
sure,
pages?
He talks a lot and thinks highly of
it's relatively short.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This does
it
not something
that.
That should be.
Scotty Young is an American artist for Marvel Comics from Chicago.
See.
Scotty works as a penciler for several Marvel titles. He's also a figure on the Around Comics podcast.
Oh, nice.
What's that?
Chris definitely put that one.
I've not.
Wow.
Well, all right, plugged on the Wikipedia.
That's it?
Because there's no Around Comics.
It is an Around Comics?
Entry.
And I'll send it in for you.
It's really the most important thing you've done in your career is being
that's
on Around Comics.
That is, well, hey, how do you think we feel?
Yeah.
How do you think we feel?
We don't even have
we don't even have a comic book to draw.
Damn it.
This is it for us, man.
What's your Wiki say?
We don't have one.
We don't have one.
It
we
just says
there's
Wiki.
There's no Around Comics.
No Around Comics?
There's no Around Comics entry.
What would it say?
What would it say?
Yeah.
We're four jerk-offs on a podcast.
Drank, talked about comics.
Yeah.
All right, talk
it's
about,
not
your,
like
fuck,
we really
talk about
yeah,
your fucking
can I,
book.
Can I talk about my book?
Okay.
Talk about your fucking book.
Anyway, House of M, Avengers, is centered around... Oh, by the way, it is Christos Gage, Mike Perkins. That's the team from The
what?
Last Union Jack.
I like Mike Perkins.
Mike Perkins is...
Sorry, I like Mike Perkins.
He kicked my dog.
What?
No.
Oh, no way he would have done that.
If you like the Union Jack miniseries, not the...
He's the friendliest guy I've ever met.
Really?
Yes. Mike Perkins is a gentleman.
Well.
Hey. He would not kick your dog.
We're going to have to talk to this guy. The House of M, if you're familiar with that miniseries, alternate reality universe. This takes place within that universe and centers around Luke
is
Cage.
It?
Yes, it is. It is in the House of M universe.
Because technically, it wasn't a alternate reality universe. It was just she recreated our universe.
Yeah, but
is that Rocket
that
Race?
Now it's an alternate. Now they've created it
now
as an alternate.
Now
reality.
They're saying that it is.
It still exists. So it now exists in parallel. How did that happen?
I think
we got some continuity flaws
I think this,
already.
This I believe takes place before the events of House of M.
Well, how's that possible? It didn't exist.
Well, sure, because she created an entire different reality. So it's out there somewhere.
Oh, snap.
We're getting into some
my
heavy
head hurts.
Metaphysical stuff. Anyway,
all right, go ahead.
It's an alternate reality story. Luke Cage.
You geeks.
Let's call Tom and have him explain the origin
buddy,
of Superboy.
If we weren't geeks, you wouldn't have such a fine wiki page.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
That's true.
So respect.
And so I surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke Cage is trying to make his way in the world that is now dominated by mutants, and that's kind of the difference between House of M and the regular Marvel universe.
Is
there a reason that Luke Cage still looks like he?
I like it.
Yeah, because Christos Cage was like, I'm putting him in the yellow.
Well.
Yeah, the
well,
yellow
he was in House of
tiara.
M too, wasn't he? He was in.
No.
He wasn't.
No.
Oh no, that's right. He was. He wasn't dressed as anything, really.
Yeah, he was just regular Luke Cage.
Well, this doesn't make any sense.
I just remember the old Luke Cage stories that he must have had a closet full of those shirts because every issue would get ripped off.
Yeah, he's got the big link chain belt. It explains why the costume change and that kind of stuff. But what was your question?
Oh, I was actually going to ask if you could just give me the setup again because. I kind of missed it because we were talking so much, and I apologize. Well, no, seriously.
This was a great episode, by the way.
I didn't want...
No, if you're not familiar with House of M, Scarlet Witch rewrote history to where Magneto became the ruler of the world, basically.
Right.
And mutants were no longer persecuted. They were the upper class. And if you weren't a mutant, then you were
scum.
Like how mutants are in the Marvel Universe now. They even made it to where if you had latent mutant genes, you could have them activated. So most people became mutants. And Homo sapiens are the lower class. Well, Luke Cage grows up in this society as not only being a poor black youth, he's also a poor black
non-mutant.
His best friend is a mutant, and they grow up as kind of a Godfather tale where they're both kind of street hoods. And exactly.
Does he have powers?
No, he does not. Okay. Until, and I'm spoiling the hell out of this book now. Yeah. He doesn't have powers until he goes to prison. Now, this is before the final. There's a war.
Slinging Rock.
There is
exactly like his regular war.
There is a war going on between mutants and non-mutants. Well, the United States government, which is still controlled by non-mutants, is trying to basically come up with the super soldier formula.
Okay,
but to fight the mutants,
right?
They're testing it on prisoners,
and they tested it on him.
They tested it on him. And
this all happened before.
So there's retelling the origin of Luke Cage,
except he wasn't made to fight mutants. Yeah. But that's pretty much how he was turned into.
So it's like an origin story of how in the House of M.
Yes,
it's kind of cool.
He comes.
Kind of interesting.
Breaks out of prison because he knows they're going to kill him because they're obviously not going to let him live. He breaks out of prison, goes back to his old stomping grounds and to get revenge on his childhood friend who has basically turned extremely evil and is a more or less a mutant pimp in Harlem.
So what did you like about it so much?
I love the fact that I didn't have to know who any of the characters in the book were. And it read great, but there are all of these neat little nuggets there, these little fanboy nuggets that Gage throws out. If you do know who Tigra is, or if you're a Power Man and Iron Fist fan from way back, you get to see Luke Cage and Iron Fist meet for the first time all over again in another universe.
So it's almost like they're doing Ultimate. Ultimate Universe mm-hmm. all over again, just in a different.
But it's in a world that is completely run by mutants.
I wonder if they're going to keep doing this more and more.
I would love to see the House of M universe kind of spin off into its own, at least regular series. It was really a lot of fun because I didn't feel dragged down in continuity, but there was enough of those. It's kind of like Exiles, in that there's enough of those little nuggets out there that say, "Oh, that's kind of cool," but you don't have to know.
That's sort of the thing now to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think Geoff Johns started that, where it's like,
"Oh, he's great at that." Yeah,
put in all the little fanboy stuff that people will get if they're like Tom and know the complete history of. But if you don't. It doesn't really matter to the story that much, mm-hmm. You're not going to miss out on anything.
It's like if you're a Hawkeye fan, this is a book that's going to have a Hawkeye that's going to play a pretty predominant role and is going to be everything that is great about that character.
Purple.
And they're outlaws. He is in the purple tunic. And this core group of characters is going to be basically the freedom fighters that are trying to,
But this all happens before
the actual House of M. Yeah.
Which still confuses me, but all right.
Well, if you listen to the Christos Gage interview from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
liar. But if you listen to that, he talked about what he is doing with some of the characters, and Frank Castle is going to be in this House of M series, but Frank is a non-powered, but basically still...
Pacifist.
No. He works for the government, the way I understand it, if I'm remembering correctly. His wife and children never died, and that's the leverage that the mutant control...
Don't spoil it.
Yeah, well, it's that's the leverage that they use against him to make him...
You've become
work
a big Christos Gage fan, haven't you?
I haven't read anything that he's done that I haven't liked yet.
Did he write the Stormwatch PhD?
Yes.
Yep. I haven't read that yet, but I'm going to, and I'm looking forward to it because everybody said it was great.
Stormwatch PhD did some really good Wolverine stuff for a while. What else has he done?
I haven't read Wolverine since Frank Miller.
He did some...
Honestly, I have not read Wolverine since Frank
Well, he did
Miller.
The stuff that
Umberto... missed a whole lot.
I don't think I have.
When Umberto was working on Wolverine, he was writing it. So
Yeah.
Gage is doing some really cool stuff. He's definitely, like Brian Reed, I think he's one of those relatively new guys...
The new breed.
That's out
new
there to watch. So anyway, really looking forward to the next four issues of House of M, Avengers. And I hope they stay with this little multiverse thing. You know, it's...
if it sells, I'm sure they will.
Well, it makes for good stories that you don't have to really worry about.
Scotty's doing a House of M Nightcrawler.
Howard the Duck.
Dude.
House of M, Howard the Duck.
That would be sweet. Nobody wears pants.
All right. Either you guys read any comics?
I saw Howard the Duck 4 times.
I read no comics.
You read no comics.
I read No Dominion, the second by Charlie Houston.
Charlie Houston book?
The second Joe Pitt Case book.
Is it right after the first one? Or,
yes. Okay. It's about a year. It takes place about a year after, but it picks right up. It's fucking awesome.
You really enjoyed those books.
You liking Charlie Houston as a novelist, huh?
Well, I've read two books, so.
Yeah. But you've liked them both.
Liked them both. Loved it.
Well, they could have sucked, so.
This one was even better than the first one. And it just jumped. It was great because it didn't waste a lot of time reintroducing you to all the characters. It kind of assumes that you read the first one. You know what I mean? It doesn't go into every single character reestablishing them. It basically just says, well, I hope you read the first one, because
if not,
a lot of stuff was established there, and this goes on from there. So,
nice. Do you think you necessarily have to have read the first one to read the second one?
I don't think you would have to, but
it helps.
It would absolutely help, because, yeah. I mean, I would say that, well, maybe you would have to. I mean, you wouldn't be lost, but there's some things that you wouldn't get out of it, like his relationship with, you know, the girlfriend he has. It's touched on, you know, it's dealt with in this book, but it's all established in the first book.
Right.
So the fact he doesn't have to do a lot in this book with it for you to still feel it as much weight as it has.
Right, you carried it over from
the first book. Yeah, you carried it over from the first book. So, yeah, there are things like that that you probably definitely need to have for you to get the full enjoyment out of it. You know, just some of the angst between some of the characters that carries over from the first book. And
a lot of the same characters in it?
Yeah, all the same characters. Oh. New ones. I mean, there's new ones as well, but all within the same parameters of the first book. I mean, it doesn't go off and it's just another kind of job that Joe Pitt's doing. It's
Joe Pitt.
It's really good. And it's funny because for people who don't know, Joe Pitt's not his real name. His human, when he was a human, his name was Simon something. But, you know, a lot of vampires, when they change over, they change their names because, of course, they're going to be around forever. So they kind of, like, put to rest
their old
life. They want
something kind of cool, too.
Yeah, and he said, well, I was young when I got changed over. And because somebody asked him, why did you change your name? You're not a Joe. And he said, well, I was young. Sounded cool. But one of the best parts of this book was there's a character in it called the Count. He calls himself the Count. He's a young, spoiled, rich guy. Has his three brides and all this. And he's
a vampire?
Yeah. And, of course, Joe Pitt makes the thing like, yeah, you know, every 5 years or so, some jack-off comes around and calls himself the Count or Vlad or, you know, like...
A cliche.
Yeah. Pretty much, because, again, this is not a mystical world. This is a virus.
Right.
All vampires in this world are infected with a virus. This is not a mystical, magical world.
Does he use that sort of to his advantage in the book as far as, like, are they aware of, like, mystical vampires or, like, in fiction?
Oh, yeah.
So
that, yeah,
so
that's
it's
what
like
I'm
the
saying.
Whole
that's why he's saying. He's okay. Like, yeah, every so often, you know, a new
right.
fish.
So, like, Dracula, the book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything. Well, world. And that's where I'm getting to with this is he's this guy, this rich, spoiled guy. He goes back to him and he's going to rough him up a little bit because he found something out. And the guy's in his underwear and a girl's T-shirt. And, you know, just like a druggie, you know, just like a junkie rich spoiled kid. And the girl's T-shirt that he's wearing, like a baby doll shirt, has Buffy on it.
Nice.
And he said, and so Joe looks at him and goes, is that supposed to be fucking funny? And he's like, what? I guess. And he fucking pistol whips him and says, I hate you fucking pretentious little pop culture fag vampire, whatever.
What, is this supposed to be ironic?
Yeah, that's what he said, you little ironic pop culture little you self-aware fucking vampires.
Well, I think I'm going to like that.
Yeah,
okay.
Dude just keeps beating the shit out of him because he's like, you all think this is a fucking joke, right? And it's not. It's a disease. And they can't live with the rest of the world, and they got to live by this whole new fucking set of rules. And here's this jerk off, you know, with his three brides and calling himself the Count and wearing a Buffy the Vampire Slayer shirt.
Two, three brides.
Yeah. So it's shit like that.
Kind of like the Vampire and Preacher. The one that...
No, let's not talk about Preacher.
you know the character I'm talking about.
There's actually a part of Preacher that's like that, actually.
Yeah, but it wasn't as funny to me. Because Buffy, I get. Because Buffy is... I wasn't ever really into the whole Anne Rice style of vampire, that vampire world. So, and that's what they were making fun of there, right?
Oh, yeah. They did that actually in Buffy, too.
Right,
yeah,
right.
So. I hate Anne Rice vampires.
But it's stuff like that. Like, that's kind of the attitude of the book. And it just makes it a fun, really fast read.
And what's the first novel again?
Already Dead.
Already Dead, okay.
Already Dead. And these are pretty much in the last couple of years, so I'm sure the next one's probably... I'm sure there's going to be a next one.
I think he was leaving Moon Knight to go back and write novels,
yeah.
So hopefully...
It's great. That's what I read. No comics.
No comics again.
No comics again.
Mr. Norton.
Maybe New Year.
I don't know.
I'm not sure yet. Maybe never.
I finished Checkmate.
Ooh, let's talk, Mike. I'm next to Chris. Let's talk.
No.
Wow.
And thanks, folks. We're out of here.
Put his
watch
hand
out.
On my knee, and all of a sudden I start looking like
Greg Rucka.
Nah, you're not pretty enough.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, Jesus! Come on.
Nice. I'm playing right into
I'm
it.
I'm pretty.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Oh, Tom calls me from Detroit today, and he's like, "Yeah, if you want to make some jokes about me, you know, stalking Jeff Johns in Michigan, go ahead." And I'm like, "All right, Tom."
Is Jeff Johns in Michigan?
I think he's from Michigan originally. I don't think
he's going to his boyhood home.
Yeah, he's taking the Jeff Johns bus tour. This is where Jeff used to play as a child.
That's creepy.
So Checkmate, how'd you like it?
I did like it. And I think... as I was reading it, I thought this to myself as if I was going to be talking on around comics for some reason. Because this popped into my head and I was like... I kind of like this better than I like his Queen and Country.
Mm-hmm.
I like the political stuff and throw some superheroes in there. It makes it more interesting to me than... And I thought, how does that sound? You actually worked on Queen and Country. It makes it sound like... It's like, yeah, Queen and Country sucks. You should read Checkmate.
It doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't. It's not what I mean at all.
Take
it's
that
just
back.
It seemed... No, I didn't mean it. It's more interesting to me.
It's cool having political intrigue.
I'm not a huge political intrigue guy.
Yeah, me either. Right?
So that part, especially when I first started reading it, and I was telling you about that last week, it seems like I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but I did end up liking it, and I do like. I don't know why, in the history of DC continuity, nobody's freaking killed Amanda Waller. Because that she's the most annoying character ever, and she just exists to piss
Why?
People off.
Because you don't screw with the wall, because the wall hasn't figured out before. Wall. Yeah, the wall. No, I, yeah,
she's surrounded
by
100 smarter and more powerful characters. Why don't they crush her?
You know, the smarter thing, Amanda Waller is, whenever she's written well, I mean, she's basically kind of like the female political version of Batman.
But
she has every angle figured out. She's two steps ahead of everybody.
But she works with Mr. Terrific. This guy can't figure her out. He's the smartest guy in the world, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, but she's probably more devious than he is.
Machiavellian.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I was just like, somebody needs to crush her like a bug.
Well, the other
why
thing
does she keep popping up? I just don't like reading about her.
You're supposed to hate
like
her.
I know you're supposed to hate her. I know, but it's just like, she would get so old after a while to these people that they got to work with her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's different if she's like a supervillain and you're fighting against her every day. These people have to go to work with her all the time.
Technically, she's supposed to be one of the good guys, but
she's never been one of the good guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she is totally that character of, you know, you have the superpowered, you know, guy is just like, I'm going to kill you. She's like, yeah, that's great, except I had a bomb implanted in your brain, and if you touch me, your head will explode. I mean, she's that character.
She's very devious.
Yeah, I don't like her.
Well,
I mean, the book is good. The book is good. And I
hate her.
I'm glad I
But she is. She's everywhere now, too. And she's
yeah, she is everywhere.
Books.
That's why
she
I brought
keeps popping
up
in a lot of different
She's
books.
Even in the cartoon.
I love her in the cartoon.
Yeah, she's okay in the cartoon because, I mean, I think there were a couple times where she kind of gets her comeuppance in the cartoon. I mean, there's a couple times where Batman scares the crap out of her.
But at the same time, there is some redeemable qualities to her because she's like, I'm just doing this for my country. And
yeah, but that
whoever,
just means she's crazy.
Well, yeah.
But other than that, I've been trying to catch up on a bunch of trades that I have. I seriously have a stack of trades that I haven't been able to get to.
Went to a party. I danced all night. I drank 16 beers and started up a fight. But no one cheated. You're out of luck. I'm rolling down the stairs, too drunk to fuck.
I do have it on the top of the stack. Alan Moore and Kevin O'Neill's The Black League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Black Dossier.
That finally came out.
Yeah, finally came out.
Is it a new story? Is it old
well,
stuff?
No, it's it's interesting.
A little bit of both.
It's not like a straight up comic story like the first two. It's not just like a narrative story. There is a narrative in it, but it's sort of enclosed within. The Black Dossier is supposed to be a book in the universe of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's a file
that the
government put together about every instance of mention or history of anyone that's been associated with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
So the story in this book is about two characters stealing the Black Dossier and trying to get out of the country with it. But as they go through it and they start to read it, you sort of start to read it with them. So it's like you get 8-10 pages of their story, and then all of a sudden you're reading what is in the Black Dossier. And the Black Dossier consists of all sorts of different things. So, I mean, what the book was in, what Alan Moore's intention with it, from what I understand from an interview he gave, was he wanted sort of a source book to the universe of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. But he didn't want just a sort of like Marvel Universe encyclopedia. He wanted something a little more interesting
and
than
this
that.
Took a long time to come out, right? Because everybody's
well, yeah, there was a whole lot of
delayed for.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of issues with it, and so it's not just like a graphic novel you pick up and read. It's more of a almost like a history lesson on the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but done in a way that is more entertaining. But it's a lot of text.
Clip show.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, but there's all sorts of different things in there from different, like...
Say, high-quality clip
like,
show.
Like, strip cartoons from the era, from the world, of a character in that world.
Is this the same team? Is it?
Yeah, it's all O'Neill.
O'Neill?
He did all the art, but he does, like, I don't know, 25 different styles of art in it because all these different stories.
He was really
good. Yeah, he...
I didn't like him so much when I was a little kid, and I picked up Martial Law, which I had no business reading Martial Law when I was a little kid. But I picked that up, and I was like, ugh, this art looked crappy. And then, you know, you get older, and you're just like, ah, I was a little kid, and I was a stupid little kid.
It's got a Tijuana Bible in it from Britain in 1958. It's, you know, it's got all sorts of interesting 3D section. There's a 3D, and it comes with 3D glasses. So it's not, even if you read like the first two volumes of A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, it's not the same as those things. This is more of almost like a compendium, like a supplemental piece.
Gotcha.
But he did it so that there's also a story that propels some of the characters from The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So,
yes, and all,
but
all
it, I mean, it, I'm the kind of nerd that, like, I love. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is one of my favorite comics of all time because of what Moore does with it and all the references that he puts in it. I get off on that kind of crazy
shit.
Oh,
I dig it. I dig it. It's the same thing I liked about the second Mage series.
All the Arthurian.
But it wasn't in the first Mage series, but the second Mage series, you know, but it's one of those things that once I read it, it's just like, okay, it wasn't my favorite of all time. Mage is my favorite of all time just because of the time that I read it.
Mage is your favorite comic of all time?
Well, it's one of them. Hmm. Mage and Badger,
Grendel.
American Flag, Grendel.
Yeah.
All those old first and Kimiko books.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite because those were the first comics I read as a more mature comic reader realizing...
Young adult.
This is what...
American Flag was the first comic that I ever read that was like that... opened up my head and, you know, it was like, oh, comics can be something.
Yeah, all of those books I had no business reading. Yeah.
Right.
Did you read Elementals when it came out?
Or you're younger than I am, right?
I'll be 35 in May.
Oh, okay, so you're a couple years younger than me.
I read Elementals, yeah.
Yeah, when Fables comes out, people are like, oh, this Bill Willingham guy is pretty good. And it's like, yeah, he's been around for 20 years.
Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Yeah, I love that people are into Fables and enjoy it. But, yeah, I was reading Bill Willingham stuff back when I was in high school.
That's funny about Willingham is that I always recognized him as the guy that drew Elementals. I didn't know he's this awesome writer. And didn't he write Elementals, too? Why didn't I notice that? That's stupid.
That's a real convoluted...
Because we didn't care about writers.
I didn't, honestly, yeah, I didn't care about
that. Didn't pay attention to any of the writers. Yeah. I didn't know who anyone was.
And even then, you'd go back and you look at those Elementals, and you're like, this is kind of wonky art. But I loved it back then.
Yeah. So. Yeah, probably the only writer that I knew growing up was Chris Claremont that I could say, oh, yeah, Claremont wrote that because it was, you know, Claremont Byrne.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, but after that. All apologies to our UK listeners. Sorry you can't buy it.
Well, they can't.
Yeah,
get
it's
it?
Not. Why well, not? Because of DC.
Isn't he from there?
Well, DC. This is published through DC because it was still under the whole Wildstorm.
Oh, I thought America's they weren't going to do that.
America's Best Comics.
This is the last one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, initially he said that it wasn't that big a deal, but then all of a sudden it turned into issues and different things. But the reason DC decided not to release it in the UK or outside of the US was copyright issues because copyright laws are different outside of the US, and a lot of these characters
are newer than the ones that were in the previous.
Yeah,
league.
But.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
They're actually belong to somebody.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I want to read it just so I can see who they are. Although, you know, half the guys in the first go round I didn't recognize. I didn't know who. I'd never heard of some of these.
Quartermain.
Well, I knew who Quartermain was, but only because of the crappy movie that What's-His-Face was in, Richard Chamberlain was in back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of the story.
King Solomon's Mines?
There were two. Yeah. It was Alan Quartermain and the Lost Cities of Gold
and King Solomon's Mines. Oh, sorry.
Yes, thank you very much.
Get it straight.
James Earl Jones was in both of them, thank you.
Oh, wow.
There's actually probably more text in here than there is comic.
Okay.
Because, like I said, it's the Black Dossier, and it's a compilation of... You know, it's like a fictional government file on the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Okay.
So it's a compilation of different stories.
Not
and
much
different
for
things.
Reading, but yeah.
It's. I mean, like one part of it is like supposed to be like a lost play by Shakespeare. about some characters in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So there's like four pages
that
of
stuff
more
like that. It's just like, how did I read Watchmen the first time? How did I do that?
Because it reads on different levels.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
That's the brilliance of it.
This is why this guy is, you know, I was watching TV the other day and I was realizing, you know, the word genius gets thrown around too much. People are, yeah, that guy's a genius. Like, no, he's not. This kind of stuff, it's like, I don't think there's any question.
He's a genius.
He's a genius because people can't think like that.
Well, that I was telling Chris that as like, I am amazed at just how he is capable of first even knowing all of the different things that he puts in a book like this.
Right, right, right.
Just knowing the cultural references from the Victorian era of literature and stuff that he put in. Okay, and even if you didn't just say knew it and you just went and researched it because you had the idea, say, I want to do this, to be able to then take that information and turn it into an entertaining story is friggin' amazing. I mean, I don't know how the guy is unbelievably, and I said this on the forum today, he is so far head and shoulders above any other comic writer that's ever written comics. It's ridiculous. He's on a different planet.
I'm reading Tom Strong Volume 2 right now, which is a totally different type of book.
Oh, yeah.
And it is brilliant in what it does.
Speaking of American Flag, didn't he write the Bob Vilance backup stories in that? I know he wrote something for American Flag. I want to say he wrote like some Bob Vilance.
He might have,
Which Bob, have you read American Flag?
No, I keep waiting for the big collection.
I don't remember.
I know, me too.
Yeah, me three. Well, I have all the singles.
Bob Vilance was the hit TV show in the American Flag universe, which is like, it's a 3D cartoon.
Right.
But it's like extreme, it's like Tarantino kind of violent.
It's like Max Headroom meets Quentin Tarantino.
But he wrote the backups for that, I think.
I think you're right. I think he did write
those. He wrote some. I know he wrote some American Flag.
Yeah.
I know he wrote.
Have you ever read any of that was 2000 AD stuff?
No, I haven't read a lot of 2000 AD at all, actually.
We actually had a listener back when we started the whole Year of Alan Moore thing, sent me a bunch of his 2000 AD stuff, his DR and Quench stuff.
I've seen that. I really like the artwork. Who did? Was that Dave Gibbons?
Yeah, I think it's Gibbons.
Yeah. I thought I saw something. It was like maybe was it Alan Davis or something. It looked like Alan Davis, but that British. Maybe. I mean, you can tell a British style at a certain point just because they were all looking at each other. Just the same way you can tell a South American style sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Things like that. It's just really cool to see that and watch where they're coming from. Like you can totally see Dave Gibbons in Steve Dillon. You know, that kind of thing. It's just like, it's cool to watch those. It's any kind of like painting or art, just to watch those
movements and the time, and then it just becomes part of the culture.
I will say,
like
Watchmen, you know, I had read that initially when it first came out, and then I had read it years later, but it wasn't like until, you know, years and years later when I got the absolute version of it and I read it again, that I really had such a more appreciation for the artwork for David Gibbons.
The first time I read it, it was a futuristic sci-fi murder story.
But what I was going to say, though, is that this book, Kevin O'Neill just shines. I mean, he just...
Because he can do a lot of different
stuff. Oh, my God. And it's all unique. You can tell it's all him. But he does so many different styles in it.
He and another more a collaborator like Eddie Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
They can do a lot of different kind of things. And you look at their artwork, and it's easy to dismiss it at first glance. It's like, this guy didn't really try very hard.
Right.
But he's really only given you the information that you need to see. And then it's like you go back and you look at it, it's like, there's a lot of...
Yeah.
It's something you don't see at first glance. It's the way that a lot of people think about lots of artists, like, you know, Jack Kirby or Steve Ditko. It's just like, you know, when I first saw that artist, I hated him.
Kirby. I hated Kirby.
Yeah, exactly. And then you after a while, and it's not because people talked you into liking it.
No.
It's because after a while, you're just like, wow, that guy was onto something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It takes, time for some reason sometimes to
realize genius.
I don't want to say, get it, but...
I'm just now getting appreciate an appreciation for Steve Ditko for the first time.
I hated him. He's one of my favorite artists today.
I can't wait till you guys are 60.
I hated him when I was a kid.
Till we're 60?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you'll think I'm incredible.
Oh, we already think that, Scotty. We know you're a genius. You tell us every day. How could we not know?
Yeah, but you'll believe it.
Oh, we'll believe it. We'll believe it then? All right.
Yeah, it's kind of like a German conditioning thing. You know?
Brainwashing. You're just pounded in.
It's very Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, even though I've only read about three quarters of this, I'm not all the way through it. It just blew me away. I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed it. Even though I really enjoyed the first two volumes, and this is just such a different kind of creature. I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed reading it.
Well, I tell you what, I bought the hardcover, and you bought the hardcover. I know that the Absolute's coming out.
Yeah, next year sometime.
I'm probably going to get the Absolute, so...
I said I wasn't going to, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to keep the hardcover. I don't need the Absolute of this.
Yeah.
But then, halfway through reading, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to buy the Absolute.
I tell you, John...
Son of a bitch!
John and Matt are our buddies on the Quiet Panelologist at work. Mm-hmm. I know that they can't get this. So,
we'll send ours to them.
Yeah, so whenever we get our Absolute editions, we'll send them our hardcovers.
There we go.
Matt and John.
So. All right, that's my...
I've got a second comic in what is turning into a Brian Reed Appreciation Week.
Oh, yeah.
Dun-dun-dun.
I had another one of Reed's, too, that I liked this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was Brian Reed's week.
Yeah.
We already talked about Captain Marvel and how Brian Reed kind of surprised us with how well that was put together. He also had a number one issue of an Image book come out this week called The Circle, and it was done with Ian Hosfeld was the artist, and I have it's Hosfeld or Hosfeld? Hosfeld?
I don't know the man. Never met him.
A neat little backup story. It talks about how the two of them kind of got together and planned this book out. They both came up working in the video game industry, and Hosfeld was a video game concept artist, and Brian Reed wrote for video games, and so I guess they were working on a game together.
So they were those two guys in the commercial that are sitting in the recliners. And they're playing
video. Hey, let's do a comic.
That sound effect. Use that in the next level.
Actually, I think they thought that they were working in a very cramped conference room together with very bad air circulation.
That's how I like to do my best work.
But I like seeing, and actually Andrew Kadelka, who's been on the show before, dropped off the Art of Midway from Midway Games, and he's been talking up the amazing concept artist that worked for Midway.
When did Andrew come by?
He dropped it off, I guess, earlier.
Oh, he was okay.
And he's been talking up
concept artists in general are just. I haven't seen.
They're fucking beasts.
They're amazing. Because the full-ass rendering paintings that these guys are doing for an idea that somebody had that nobody will ever see, because it's just something that somebody thought up, and it never looks like that in the actual video game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, wow.
Well, a lot of these guys that do concept art for video games are comic book fans.
Sure.
A lot of these guys
Nerds.
Would love to work in comic books, but they're making... hopefully too much money in video games.
Oh, they totally are.
Until they close the studio down.
Yeah, poor AE.
Bastards.
AE or EA Chicago guys. But anyway, these two guys.
EA Games, it's in your ass.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
You're on your ass.
Yeah. You're on the street.
Never mind Madden ever again. But anyway, the Circle is the collaboration of these two guys, and it's right in my wheelhouse.
I liked it. Yeah, I read it too. I thought it was good. It was a good introductory issue. Didn't
international espionage, terrorists.
Yeah, well, I knew why you liked it because the espionage, any espionage,
a hijacked Russian missile train. I mean, you got me right.
That was
there.
A cool scene. With
wasn't
the train
it?
Coming
here,
through?
You guys
yeah,
got
pretty cool.
You guys would.
Yeah, it was good. Brian Reed's good. He's good. He's just good. He's just good. I don't know what else to say.
This is them hijacking this missile train.
Russian missile train busting through. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, the Circle number one. It's you don't want to get too much in plot because there's a lot of interconnecting stuff and a lot of it'll really ruin it to go into the plot. But a tight espionage story. Check it out. I think it's setting up to be a fun series and a good setup issue. So.
Is it a? Do you know if it's a finite series?
You know, it doesn't say one of anything, so I'm assuming that it's an ongoing. It's you never know with Image, a lot of that stuff, if it doesn't get received really well, can drop off really quickly. I would assume that with a guy like Brian Reed that they're going to give him a story arc anyway.
Yeah, I would think.
So I would say hopefully at least 6 issues.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Anything else?
No, sir. Not from Scotty.
I'm trying.
Young.
I'll read something.
Read some comics.
Draw.
I didn't want to give a shout out to Andy Parks, who worked with.
He's a punk. He's bald headed punk.
He doesn't email me back, the bastard.
Oh, he said hi. He emailed me today.
Yeah. Everybody told you hi. Yeah,
right. He told Nobody me to say to hi me. To you.
You're only weird. Everybody said hi this week.
Well, yeah, everybody did say hi. Yeah. Because I'm the networker, Scotty.
You're out in there, and out, I'm man. Talking. You're around town.
I'm emailing. I'm calling He's around people.
He's around comics.
I'm dialing the digits.
Don't ever say that again. You're way too white.
Oh, God.
But
say Izzle.
Izzle?
He's
like our guinea pig. Yeah. Say for shizzle.
Yeah. Say for Daredevil, shizzle, dare dizzle.
Daredevil was the faux sizzle.
Don't.
On Daredevil Annual number 1.
Oh, don't tell me about Daredevil.
As always, this episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Plotted by Ed Brubaker, scripted by Andy Parks.
Really?
And he did a damn fine job with it.
Well, Andy knows how to write.
Yes, he does.
He's just lazy.
Have you read Union Station?
Yes. Okay. And Capote in Kansas.
Well, yeah. I figured everybody had read Capote. I didn't know if everybody knew about Union Station.
Yeah. And that was the first thing that he had ever written commercially. So I'm really hoping that we see some more from Andy.
Actually, I had a long email discussion with Andy before we kind of knew him about Union. Because we went to Wizard World a few years back before we started the podcast. And we were with your friend Chad.
Yeah, Chad's up.
And he kept talking about Capote in Kansas. So I bought it, and I bought Union Station.
Yep.
And then I emailed Andy after I read.
Young Chris Somney whippersnapper.
Yeah, and I emailed Andy, and I didn't know Andy at all. I had met him then. But he gave me his email address, and I emailed him, and then I talked with him about Union Station for, like, I don't know, weeks. I kept emailing back and forth, but... Which is kind of funny now, looking back at it. Now he won't return my emails, but he did then. Strange.
He's big time. He's right there.
He's big time in me. Bastard.
He just plotted, scripted Daredevil.
Yeah. What's up Fuck with me, that? Right? He don't need you.
I guess not. I was in Daredevil.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been in no comic yet. But you like
Next issue of Adam. Like you guys check it out.
Oh.
Really? I showed you the
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's
God
right.
God damn. How
well,
soon
I don't know
I
what
forget.
Issue that is.
It's issue 18. Out next month.
Nice. Buy it.
Buy it.
Damn it.
Half me, half Jerry Ordway.
Can't believe you did that to that restaurant.
Had Not you? My fault. I didn't do it. Giganta did.
I'm going to be really disappointed if their relationship ends, by the way.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting.
I like that.
Gail's gone on record as saying, like, Giganta is still a bad guy.
No, I know, but
I don't
like
know if that will ever resolve.
Yeah, true.
Maybe
enough.
She's just misunderstood.
He likes her.
No, she's bad. She's
no, not a bad guy. That's what I just said.
She's crazy. She's not misunderstood. She's friggin' nuts. All right.
Hi, God. Hi, God. Hi, you both say you. Where is our Iron Man strength? Turned into a dark cold corner. Is this a phase that is so pale?
Speaking of all-time favorite comics from my kids, I heard you read The New Badger.
Yes, I did.
Are you going to talk about that?
Sure. That would have to be in my bottom of the stack.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
It was not good.
Is it here?
I don't know if he's got a copy here.
I don't really want to look at it. I'm kind of scared of
it. It made no sense, and that's a lot. For a Badger comic, it just, like...
And a little backstory for people out there. This is one of Sal's favorite comics.
One of my favorite.
And it was your first main work.
It was one of my favorite comics, and it was one of my first job ever. So talk about being real.
The original Badger stuff, when it was good, was one of the funniest comics on the stands. It was hilarious and fun and action and great stuff. this one, it just... I mean, it wasn't even like... I mean, to me, it would seem like it would be really easy to bring that character back and just sort of do the same kind of stuff that you did with it at one time. But I can understand maybe him not wanting to do that and trying to take it in another direction. He didn't seem to do either of those things with this book. He kind of wanted... It seemed like he wanted to it to be the Badger that it once was, but he just can't do it anymore.
Is this the same guy writing it?
Yeah. Same guy writing it.
That's
Mike
what I was
Barron.
Afraid of, because I, when I heard he was bringing it back, what I had read, it seemed like that's what he was going to do, was he's going to, it was, I'm paraphrasing, because he didn't exactly say it was, but he pretty much like, yeah, I learned my lesson from the Image 90s run, where it was just too silly and nobody could understand what was going on.
Right.
And then it sounds like
it
that's
was,
exactly what he's
well,
doing.
Well, it wasn't even silly, it was, I mean, it I can't imagine, like, the artist getting the script for that and having any concept of what to draw. There was no...
Well, I don't know if
there
that's
was
a problem.
Well, there was just, like, no story.
Well, that's the other thing about this. I'm looking at the art, and it looks very, like, underground kind of.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
Almost like...
Yeah.
What's-his-face drew it? Crumb. It's almost like Art Crumb drew
yeah, it's
Badger by Art Crumb.
I mean, I was really looking forward to it, and I was really, really disappointed by it. And I hope it gets better, because, you know... But even, like, in the end of it, there's a whole, like, thing that Barron wrote...
I see that.
...about it.
He does that a lot in his comics.
Well, I mean, just read that, and it almost kind of gives you an idea of his state of mind. I don't know the man. I've never talked to him, but...
Yeah.
When we talked to Steve Rude before, and he kind of talked about the problems they've had writing Nexus.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to rip on Mike Barron at all, but it's just, yeah, it just wasn't good. And I'm pretty, you know,
it's
and
a
I'm
shame I haven't read it yet, but I want to get this because I'm a huge Badger fan too. And I mean, I like Mike too. I just, yeah, I feel like. I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking with that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what it comes down to. I don't know what he was thinking with it, really, and unfortunately. But, yeah, so that's my bottom of the stack.
Are we recording right now?
We're recording right
scribble.
Now.
Oh.
Scribble.
Scribble. Scribble. Scribble. Scribble.
So Sal has...
DJ Scribble in the house.
Scribble.
Sal has taken any of my free time that I once had, which
what did
was
I
very
do?
Little, and flushed it down the toilet because in the last 3 weeks, I've watched 4 seasons of The Wire.
What?
2 seasons of...
Where'd you get the 4th season?
A friend recorded them and gave
Chris
them
Crane.
To me. two seasons of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and a season of Frisky Dingo.
All right. Right. Wow. I'm going to go ahead and say tonight we cannot talk about Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Because
I would like you not to.
Because every week we
I love that
talk
show.
About it.
Our last hour
is always funny.
Is just everybody repeating
the same
shit.
But I finally watched
shit.
It now.
I
get it now.
If
I'm
you come late
the
to
jokes.
The dance, you don't get any pussy. All right.
Oh dang. Well, what does
you,
that mean?
You just described my entire high school
years. What does that
years?
Make me?
You fucked. You were first in line to fuck the whore.
Yeah, I screwed all your sisters.
And I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk about The Wire because Tom's not here.
Well, we've all seen all the wires.
So I'm just
except that, four.
That's just yeah. It's really good.
I'm
sure
to watching it. I'm glad none of you guys are spoiling it.
Oh, we can't spoil The Wire for him because you haven't watched any, right?
No, none of it.
And we cannot
or
spoil
The
Wire.
Either, so.
The Shield is the motherfucking shit.
Yeah. I love The Shield.
4 seasons of The Wire.
Love me some Shield.
It was prime.
Well,
my
you turned me on. You got me watching Battlestar Galactica. So,
see you guys later.
Night, Mark.
Good night, Mark.
Bring me to the Desperate House.
Go Cubs.
This week, don't forget.
I will call you.
I'll do that to you.
Thank you.
Please don't turn off lights.
What I haven't really watched anything that much this week.
I watched the first season of OC.
Jesus. Welcome to 1993.
That's how I was able to read that book so fast.
Why?
Because I put that on the background so I don't pay attention.
He's like super multitasking.
Well, I have to have some kind of background noise going on. So I strategically
When you're reading?
Yeah, I have to. Really? I can't go to sleep without television. I can't read without some kind of background noise.
Oh, see, I can't have anything going on when
I'm
reading.
Yeah, but if you're having like new media, like you rented OC to watch.
No, I own OC.
Oh, you own it?
Yes, I own
to
it.
To watch
and
it.
I've seen it.
Oh.
So it's so bad that I can put it back on. And not pay attention.
It's not bad. It's not so bad that you went out and bought it, though.
Oh, I bought it sight unseen. I have a girlfriend who talked, like, I said, oh, I like this, and I like this, and we watch this. And she's like, oh, every time you say you're not going to like a show, you end up liking it. I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to put money down that I probably will not like OC. And I won that bet.
How much did you win?
Well, no, we didn't really bet.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. What's
wrong with you guys tonight?
I haven't slept in two days.
You have background noise on in your house?
All the time.
We do, too, but Marta and I are not constantly fighting about it because I like music on, and she doesn't. She usually wants TV.
Well, I can't do music. Because music, I will actually...
Pay
I
get up and start dancing.
I will pay attention to music. I've never been able to fall asleep to music because I will just listen to the fucking music.
Television,
I'm able to...
Tune out
block
enough.
Out because all day long, I draw with my head down with a movie or a television show in the background.
Yeah, that's what
playing.
I do.
So 6 years into doing this job, my mind has been trained to not actually pay attention to what's going on, but just to have it go.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And it's almost like it almost builds a consistency from day to day or throughout the day.
I don't know if this is true for you, because I have a type of movie or TV show that I can listen to or while I'm drawing. Like, if it's I can't rent, like, a movie that I know I'm going to, like, enjoy or want to watch while I'm drawing, because I want to sit down and watch it. Well, like, today I watched DOA while I was drawing. It was like, I know I wasn't going to care about that. In fact, chances were I was going to hate the movie, which I didn't.
Right.
So, shame on me.
Well, but I never do new media while I'm working.
It's all old stuff that you've
really?
Seen.
Never.
Oh, well, I kind of think of it as multitasking.
The only
I can get this bad movie out of the way and draw,
because I know I'm going to watch it sometime.
Because of the Spike Network, I have seen every episode of CSI at least 3 times and never actually sat down to watch one.
I love CSI.
See, if it's a TV...
Regular CSI,
it's on Spike 24 hours a day.
Yeah, is it?
No. See, I'm like the opposite. If it's music, I can just use it as background noise. But like movie or television, I...
Watch it.
Yeah, I have to watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Unless
it's like something like a...
I've watched a lot of my movies a lot of times over, so I'm at that point now where I've memorized a lot of movies, too.
Right.
So you almost...
The only thing I can do with TV-wise is like sports, you know, like basketball or baseball games.
Right.
Because like, especially baseball, because it's like... If it's not,
don't
unless
get Chris started.
Well, no, if it's not.
No, baseball's great because you can pay very specific attention to it, or it can just be.
Yeah, it can just be in the background, and like something may happen that'll get my attention.
I'm going to sit down and watch this at bat.
Yeah, something like, but I don't need to watch the whole goddamn game.
Goddamn, that's an exciting sport.
Best sport in the world.
But even basketball, the same thing, because it's like basketball doesn't matter until the last 2 minutes anyway, so it's like,
true.
You know, right. I can. I mean, I love basketball, but. I don't have to be paying attention to it unless it's, you know, like a playoff game or something that I really need to be paying attention to.
Or if
otherwise,
it's the Bulls,
I just, you know,
none of it really matters.
Oh, my poor Bulls, man. Sports this year have sucked
for
me.
Damn, we're a sports podcast.
Sorry, we're talking
snap.
Sports.
Oh, snap. Holler at your frog.
It's a hard time to live in Chicago.
Yeah. I will actually stay awake all night long if I have nothing to watch.
What?
I can't go to sleep
without something.
I'll bring my laptop, and if I'm staying at somebody's house or something, they don't have a television where I'm sleeping, I'll pop up on my laptop and put a movie in. I bring movies with me or television shows with me everywhere I go.
That's weird.
It's hardcore. Like, all I'll do is lay in bed and think about shit.
Wow.
About taking over the world.
Which you, your mind, you can't stop
in your mind.
You almost got it figured out.
Yeah,
you got it
figured out.
He's just running probabilities over and over. Okay, I take
scenarios. I gotta tell you though, Sky, that risk game is not a good
is not a good map for how you're going to do it. You've been planning it out.
It's like, God damn it, I got this. I got it. Oh,
the Ukraine is the way to go.
I have three cannons here.
It's pretty close, though. It's pretty close.
See, I can't, like, when we went and saw Clutch and then we stayed, or not Clutch, Rage Against the Machine, right. It's like, I noticed it because, like, I'm sitting there. You turned on Halloween 5 or something, you know?
And I ended up turning off the TV because I felt bad for you.
Cause I knew I can sleep through it. It was weird because I don't ever do that.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I'm going to sleep. I didn't care that it was on, but it was just like odd. You know, I couldn't imagine trying to fall asleep every night with something on
granted, I normally don't fall asleep to fucking Halloween Michael 5? Myers. that wasn't my choice. There was just, I mean, we stayed at a great 4-star.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful. Thanks, Chris, for the recommendation to stay there.
You go to sleep with the TV on, so you just go to sleep and it stays on.
Yes. And I put it on sleep.
Timer? Yeah, there's a timer.
I put it on sleep.
Wow.
And so, at 2 hours, it'll be off. And I sleep with a sleeping mask.
Yes, you do. Yeah, I found that out.
Norton just spit beer.
He's got a nice little.
Because you want to.
Are you serious?
This is why. Because the TV's on.
So it's with earplugs too.
And my TV.
You know,
it's
not like we weren't friends before, but now I like you a lot more. That I know you're so fucked up in the head. Yeah.
My TV in my bedroom is huge, and so it's a lot of fucking light. I just want to hear it. I don't need to see it.
What does Casey do?
Puts a mask on as well.
She's like over on the side, like, son of a goddamn.
No, when Casey can fall asleep doing a handstand. Casey can fall asleep in any position whatsoever. It doesn't matter. So she's always asleep before me.
I think that's a Southern Illinois thing, because I can.
Right.
Well, Casey, it's a Southern Illinois thing.
Casey's blind as a bat anyway, and when I say blind as a bat, for real. No, can't see her hand in front of her face when her glasses are off. So if her glasses are off, whether she has a mask on or not, it's probably like a nightmare anyway.
What is that? It's a floating ball of light in our room.
Are we being abducted again?
I put a mask on. It looks awesome.
Yeah. Oh,
with my mouth guard.
Mouth guard.
My sleep guard. Because I grind my teeth.
Do you really have a mouth guard?
I have to wear it.
Oh, my God. This is like a costume.
I've had to.
And it's a ritual. I mean, it's, you know.
I have to do it because I've broken my teeth.
Grinding them.
Swear to God, grinding them.
No, I've heard of this.
I sleep with a mouth guard, too, because
I am making fun, because this is just so...
Yeah.
No, it's like, this is awesome.
It's like you have to prepare to go to bed.
Oh,
I got to have the TV on.
Why I'm so successful. Because I have all this gear. It's made me ambitious.
Do you sleep well?
Oh, like a fucking baby.
Really?
Yeah. At first, when I first bought the mouth guard... the first night I had it, I thought, fuck this, I'm just getting dentures, because there's no way I can sleep with this football mouth guard in my goddamn mouth every night. I was choking.
That's how I was when I first started.
I was choking and couldn't breathe, and like, what the...
I kept thinking I was going to swallow the goddamn thing.
It is, you are literally going to bed with a goddamn football mouth guard in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm going, this has to be a cruel joke.
But you get used to it
after two nights.
Yeah.
It worked, and now it's all of a sudden, if I happen to doze off first, I wake up freaking out like, oh, my God.
I actually haven't slept well because I ruined my mouth guard, and I have to get a new one. I left it. I had it. Because, one night, because I was still getting used to it a little bit. I had bought a new one. I was getting used to it. And it fell out of my mouth, and I kind of woke up, and it was in my hand. And I put it in, like, my pocket or something.
Right.
Well, no, it couldn't have been a pocket because I wasn't sleeping with pants on.
I don't remember
in my pocket.
But somehow,
sleeping in an alley.
I had coveralls on.
Somehow it ended up in the laundry, and it went in the dryer, so it just became... so I got to get a new one.
Well, the sleeping mask came twofold. One, because of the TV. Because I used to have a TV that I could put on.
Sleeping mask?
At the sleeping mask store.
The Sleep Tight.
At Bed Bath & Beyond is where I get mine. Scotty Young hardcore sleeps.
It's got flames and shit on it. Don't,
no, it has stars and moons.
Stars and moons.
Does it really? Yeah. I knew you. It was true when you said that.
Yeah, it has stars and moons on it. It came twofold, right? Because I used to have a TV that I could switch to what I like to call stealth mode. So I could actually I had a setting saved where I could switch it to go all dark and the sound would still be on. Then I got a bigger TV and it didn't have my stealth mode on anymore. So
this is a tube TV then, right?
Yeah, twofold. To block out the TV's light so I could go to sleep. And I'm a comic book artist and I can wake up whenever the fuck I want.
So
and I
don't want 3 in the afternoon when the sun's out.
I don't
out.
Want the goddamn sun waking me up because I don't have a real job. Fuck normal people.
I'll remember that.
I'm telling you, Mike,
I'll remember
go
that.
Go buy
every,
a super mask.
Week.
It's baby time for you.
No, it doesn't matter for me. I wake up mask. Like 5 times in the middle of the night.
When do you get up? Because you're an up in
yeah,
the
morning. Yeah, I'm like an old man.
You're an up in the morning, right to the drawing board, work all day kind of guy.
Huh.
What time do you get up in the morning?
I get up around 8:30.
I get up at 9 every day.
Yeah, 8:30 or 9. That's just when I normally wake up. I've tried to sleep late. I can't sleep late anymore.
That is sleeping late, dude.
Whatever. I haven't had a regular job since. Even when I worked at the ad agency, they were like, oh, you're in the creative department. We don't expect you to get here by, you know.
Isn't that weird?
7 how like everybody else.
That has almost become like. Because we both work in creative,
mm-hmm. right?
In the creative world, and it is a weird thing how it's become acceptable for like creatives in corporations and businesses to be a little more lax.
Well, especially
yeah. you know,
yeah, especially in like an advertising
agency, yeah.
or marketing kind of mm-hmm. thing, because they're like, you show up in. You know, khakis and a tie, and they're like, "What the hell? You got an interview at Blockbuster or something?"
Well, I don't know if you guys. You know, it's like what I'm wearing today. I mean, I'm really dressed up for work because
yeah, we don't dress up at our
yeah. I had to go to. I mean, I'm usually wearing a Spider-Man shirt at work, but seriously,
I'm usually wearing
with his
Hanes.
Wonder Woman coffee cup.
I'm usually wearing Hanes trunks.
I've had that Wonder Woman coffee mug for years now.
I'm glad you're proud of it.
I love that mug. Come on, it's a cool coffee mug.
Yeah,
sure.
Dude, he takes it to the glory hole every night.
Oh, is that a real place? You never know. There's like 5 of them around here.
What?
No, these bars. I'm saying they all got stupid names like
that's
that.
Manhole.
Let's
all right,
let's move on.
What else we got going?
Well,
what else?
Saying.
I didn't get a sleeping mask. Is the bottom line, everybody?
I don't think it'll.
I'm
going to
get one. I'm getting one.
I got.
I'm taking the
like,
Scotty Young course.
Urinary tract things. I have to take care of.
You
before
should not have to pee that many times.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. I've got a doctor's appointment at the end of the month. Yeah. You want to go into that too?
Don't tempt me. I'm getting the real.
No, sleep. I honestly, I haven't slept through the night since I was a little kid.
Wow.
Not because I have to pee all the time, but just because I've been
like, and you just now are getting that doctor's appointment.
Yeah, I was going to say, holy
I'd
shit.
I'd be dead by now. But no, I've just never been able to sleep through the night.
God, I used to sleep like the fucking dead.
I would love to.
I used to. Not anymore. Now I got kids, so
I would probably be less cranky.
Yeah. I'm up every day at 5:30.
Yeah, well, you're free.
And you don't even need to be.
It's because your dogs, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's fuck that.
My dog will not get up unless I do. That's what's so awesome about it.
I sleep 8 hours every night, regardless of whatever circumstance. If I go to bed at 2, I will wake up 8 hours later. Yeah, if I go to bed at 4, I will wake up
I don't have that luxury.
8 hours later.
I don't have that.
I don't fuck around.
He's got kids.
Yeah.
They don't let you. On his face.
Yeah, exactly. They come in.
Dad's dead.
Fuck. Have we talked?
Although now I've gotten a little smarter. It's like on weekends I let him stay up a little bit later and give him some NyQuil
bourbon.
Here, kid, hit some of this crystal meth.
Have a little of this. Just
here, Jack.
Crystal meth. Sleep no, Jesus
no,
Christ.
Bourbon. Oh,
Daddy, why are you feeding us pills of liquor?
Gotta
my
sleep. I need
sleeping.
Sleep. Sleep.
Many, many
notice something in Punisher.
Oh, good
week.
Lord.
Comic books? I thought we were done with the comic books.
No,
what are you talking about?
It was kind of this funny little
babies?
Thing. I wanted
he was wearing a sleep mask and his kids were waking him up.
You know how in comics, if they write a phone number, it's always a 555 number?
Yeah, because it's a fake number or whatever.
Yeah, there's a
917-002-1101.
I did that once in the G.I. Joe book.
That's
new.
Whose number is that?
I don't know. What's called?
002, that's not going to get to anything. It's 917-002.
Yeah.
That's not going to call anyone.
I will say, this
give it a shot.
This is not a lie whatsoever. On one of the covers to Human Torch, I used a photo background that I went downtown and took, and right in front of Graham Cracker, and there was construction going on, so those boards, and I went in Photoshop and did fake graffiti, like somebody just did some quick tags on there. And I wrote, if you look close enough, it's Casey's phone number on the cover, and she got calls.
It's not her number anymore, is it?
No, but it was for a while, and she got calls from all over the country.
No shit.
Yeah, people going like, hey, I saw your number on the cover of Human Torch.
Did I win something?
And one guy, I swear to God, once he found out it was a girl, is like, hey, if you want to, like, call me.
I'm sure she loved
you.
Yeah,
she's like, you son of a bitch!
Well, we could try and call it, but hey, I don't think it's going to...
There was something like that in the G.I. Joe book that I just didn't take out.
What issue?
I'm pretty sure
I forget.
That's New York.
I can't imagine 002 is going to be a prefix for a number.
It is a New York number.
917-002-1101.
It's Joe Quesada.
Who's the name say?
It's
Sarah's father?
Well, yeah, it's okay.
Frank Castle.
It
would be Frank Castle's cell phone is
all right.
The number supposed to be.
Frank?
It's not that one.
The subscriber you have dialed is not in service.
Oh, it's an out-of-service phone number.
You received this message in error.
I was gonna say 002. What?
Yeah.
No, that's.
Yeah.
So I saw that. I was like, that's not a 555 number.
How nerdy are we right now?
Let's call somebody else.
Who do you want to call?
I don't know.
Call Tom.
Let's crank call somebody.
Crank.
Let's crank call crank.
Crank. What are you gonna say to him?
Go to sleep.
He'll know it's us.
Hey,
though.
Crank. And when he picks
up
the phone,
Chris's phone number.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Who could we call? Who do you know?
Why'd you come up off those air conditioners? What's that?
You guys know all sorts of people who could we crank. Who could we call?
Let's not crank call. We'll
tell him it's us.
Well, let's not crank call somebody. Let's call somebody and fuck with him.
Who? Who do you want to call?
John Byrne?
No, let's not fuck with him. He'll come here and kill us. He'll hunt us down.
20 years of hatred coming towards us.
And fucking kill us.
I thought you guys were going to set something up where we could take live phone calls.
We're working on it. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get it figured out, and I'm working on it.
All right.
I do have.
We got Zeb Wells.
Talk to Zeb.
Scott Lobdell.
Don't know
he's
him.
Crazy, isn't he?
He's a lunatic. We got Wya, Ryan Otley, Randy Green. Pizzeria Aroma. Oh, so tasty. We got Mike Norton.
Let's call him.
Let's call Mike.
I'm not very funny.
He won't answer.
Mark Brooks.
I won't answer, too. Yeah, that's good.
Karan Grant. Carl Kershaw.
I didn't answer what my editor called the other day.
We could call Middleton. He just called.
How's Middleton doing?
He's a punk, though.
Oh, it's on. Josh Blaylock. He's probably throwing a rave. let's see.
Any more beer?
This is an awesome show, though, because I'm just reading my phone book.
Yeah, just reading your phone book.
Umberto, we could call Umberto.
Does he speak English?
Yeah, he speaks English, but on the phone sometimes, it's especially international on a speakerphone, it could get a little tough.
Sometimes
we could call Garib Sheamus.
Oh!
Garib Sheamus' phone number?
Yeah.
It's quarter after 10.
It's quarter after 9.
Well, I did the designs for his. I worked with him for about a year. I worked all the designs for his fight league. Francisco Herrera.
Oh, really?
Eric Koh from Udon.
Would you like some noodle?
Dodge Burn. They used to color so many books every month that I said he just had like two ninja colorists and he named them Dodge and Burn. Like the most popular like Photoshop.
Sure.
Dodge Burn, hurry, go faster.
Dodge Burn. That's how he sounds. Yeah. Dodge Burn.
I will say Blaylock can do a pretty good.
He does a great.
Oh my God. We can call a Buckley.
Damn Buckley?
We could.
No. That would be a very bad idea.
Not for us.
Why are trades so expensive?
Jeez. I don't work there anymore.
What the fuck is this digital comic bullshit, Buckley?
We could call Brian Vaughn.
Ooh, no.
Crank call Brian.
Crank call Brian
Vaughn. How's your strike going?
He's never going to come on our show anyway.
It's about time that I came clean with you. No longer fine. I'm no longer running smooth. I thought that I found myself under something new. Just one more line I repeat over and over again till I'm blue in the face with a choking regret. As I talk in circles around you on my bed, can't say I blamed you one bit when you kept it all inside when you left that night.
All right, Dan Buckley wasn't home, yeah. So
unfortunately. Sorry, Dan.
So,
I brought up to you guys earlier, and you guys went and watched a trailer of a movie that I really want to see, and I can't tell you why, because I can have no fucking clue what it's about.
Yes.
The Southland Tales.
Southland Tales,
which
the guy
is supposedly graphic based novel. On graphic novel.
Mark said he had read it.
Right.
Soon the to guy, be a cult hit.
The guy who did Donnie Darko.
Yeah, created Donnie Darko.
And he wrote the graphic novel?
Wrote the graphic novels.
And now the movie.
Well, there's only one.
There's only one graphic novel out.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. Like you said, I mean, it's like no weird, clue of what the... it's something to do with time,
it's like
travel.
A weird,
it's
like a weird metatextual
yeah,
thing,
the end of
like,
the world.
We're talking about a movie, but we're in the movie. But don't go on that, because we don't know. Yeah. That's not for sure.
The Rock's, and the cast is unbelievable.
Awesome.
So you have The Rock, you have
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Justin Timberlake.
Like
Sherry O'Terry.
Two different kind of worlds
it looks like
at the same time.
Yeah.
It looks like The Matrix meets Demolition Man.
But with
comedy. Whoa, that's a bad combination. Yeah.
No, it's like it The Matrix meets like a like some kind of weird quirky comedy.
Like Last Action Hero.
Yeah,
where it's like
well,
they
not
know
even that
they're
like,
in a movie,
it's like it's like one of the, it's like Dog Show or something. It's like
yeah, it's not
Matrix
like,
meets
oh,
like the Dog Show, like a David Guest movie.
Kind of a little Mars Attacks. Look
yeah, it's just
it's
weird.
It was just weird. It's just and it seems The Rock is the main guy.
Yeah, and oh, it's Sean William Scott.
Yeah, sure, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, but it shows Rock like pitching a movie.
And he's
yeah, they have different
character.
From what I remember of the description of it. Yeah, they're. They're like they're two different people. Each one of them, it's like they're different people in this other world. I don't know. I haven't read it.
Oh, and
it looked really.
I
mean,
feel
it really,
really stupid
cool.
Talking it look, about
yeah,
it. I don't know.
It looked really cool, but yeah. Like you said, no clue what it really is.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you can say the same about Donnie Darko. It's like, what is?
I wish every trailer. I was telling Mike this. I said on Drawing Man. I said I wish every trailer was like this.
Yeah, I just
had no idea
who was in it. It showed me a couple hooker scenes, like hook me in scenes.
It had some hooker scenes
and then,
too.
Yeah, and then just I go, I don't know what it is, but
I
want to
see it. Well, I think he can do that because it's like the guy obviously has interesting ideas. I mean, like way out there, crazy shit that you know is hard to understand and yet entertaining and interesting. You know,
it's I love when Sarah Michelle Gellar goes. The future is going to be so much more futuristic than we even thought, or something like that. Like what?
You know, it's not Sarah Michelle Gellar anymore.
It is on the credits to that.
Gellar?
Yeah. No. Oh. Did you read
that?
She
was married.
No,
Friends.
She's been married for Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh,
for like 5 years.
Yeah, they've been, well, they're a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
They've been married a long time.
He's a big comic dude.
Yeah.
Pretty, well, they for their I think it was their fifth anniversary.
Oh, was
just this last week for her anniversary present to him, she changed her name to Sarah Michelle Prinze.
Well, I guess when
she's not Gellar anymore.
She's not Gellar anymore.
Well, her name isn't really holding a lot of equity. It seems like. Well, seriously, I mean, this is the only movie I can remember in the last
besides
the Grudge maybe. I
Ooh,
guess
what a fucking piece of shit. So, that movie was a piece of shit.
Yeah, backing out of Buffy don't seem like such a good idea anymore, does it?
Yeah,
that's the David Duchovny syndrome.
I like to think of it as the David Caruso syndrome.
David Caruso did it three times, or two times, whatever.
Duchovny
did. He walked away. He closed X-Files because he wanted a big movie career, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, but at the same time, X-Files, he was on X-Files for a
long time. Yeah, seven seasons.
Oh, was it seven as well?
He was on it for seven.
They're making that movie right now.
It went eight seasons.
The second X-Files movie?
Oh, really?
He was a regular on it for seven seasons. Yeah. And then it was Patrick. What was the...
Robert Patrick. Yeah.
Robert Patrick, whose brother, lead singer for Filter?
Yep. He is Filter, essentially. It's kind of... It's like a Nine Inch Nails deal.
Did anyone...
He kicked me.
Michelle Gellar.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's sad.
I was going to say, there was some comic I just read that... Oh, no, it wasn't Sarah. No, never mind. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop him.
You're freaking me out.
Fucking halt.
You're like Donnie Darko. I don't understand you.
Donnie Darko.
I still don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand that movie at all.
Have you ever watched Donnie Darko with a commentary?
No.
It's apparently that movie's a completely different movie than what's actually there. Because it's a superhero movie. Did you know that? It's a comic book movie.
Who's the superhero?
Donnie is.
He's a superhero?
I'm telling you, watch the movie with the commentary. The director will tell you all of this.
And this is the guy. The director is the guy, right?
Yeah, the director will tell you Donnie is a superhero. That's why he's able to do all this stuff that he does when nobody's around, like destroy that statue and all this stuff. He has superpowers. He does it, but you never see it. It's a superhero movie.
Christ.
It's kind of like Unbreakable, you know, except Unbreakable, actually can tell what's going on.
Except retarded.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, it's like, I'm not going
to... Drew Barrymore produced? Didn't she produce that movie?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's a fantastic movie on whatever level you... I mean, I saw it with the commentary and didn't go... Well, I did go, that's... Well, you're stretching there. You know?
Yeah, but, I don't get that. I didn't
get
that.
But at the same time, I really enjoyed it with that knowledge.
Yeah, I like the movie. It's bizarre, and it makes you think about shit, but it didn't make any... I mean, like I said, I didn't get it. I still have no fucking idea what it was supposed to say, if it was supposed to say. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you necessarily are supposed to.
I need to go back
and
watch that movie again.
Yeah, Jibba Jabba Jibba Jabba.
Scribble Scrabble.
Scribble Scrabble. Donnie Darko. Cool, shall we?
Yeah,
well, who the fuck was the rabbit then?
He's your mama.
He's a villain.
I don't know.
Yeah. The rabbit.
And Donnie
I forget. It's been a long time since
I'm
going
to have to watch it now with
years.
The commentary on.
The rabbit is something, though.
Is it kryptonite? What the fuck?
It means something. I
bullshit.
Promise you.
I think he's just crazy.
He's his guide or something like that.
Oh, my Lord.
All right.
Okay, we got anything else? Any other stories?
Diggity done.
That's it? We're done?
You're done. Let's,
word. Right.
Let's do the wrap-ups.
Let's finish her off here.
As always, somebody start at Sal.
You can go to www.aroundcomics.com and download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they will display it in their store. If they do, send us an email and we'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
Stop playing with your PUD on the internet and go leave an iTunes review.
Do it now.
Because Chris loves that shit.
He does more. Eight more.
What do we get at eight more?
Eight more
and we're at 200.
Was that the goal?
Wow, that's a lot of reviews.
It always goes up. It's just it's a milestone.
It'll be the march to 250.
It's a high water mark, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
Oh.
It's Chris's thing.
Yeah.
I like him.
I don't.
You need to put on your night mask before you go to bed. I have to check iTunes reviews repeatedly.
Night mask, my favorite new universe title.
He just sleeps and refreshes iTunes reviews.
All night long. That's not a joke. We would like to remind you that this episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection point blank to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 35% off. It's not really amazing.
I'll try that.
They kind of give everything 35% off, really. So it's not
amazing. It's less than $10.
All right. Get your copy today for only $9.72. You can now read Ed Brubaker's amazing 5-issue. It's
way to bite
amazing.
The hand.
Prologue.
What, you're like, better than everybody else? You should get a bigger discount?
To the critically acclaimed
sleeper. Talking bad about the sponsor.
For less than $10. I wasn't talking about it. I was talking bad about the copy. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. And remember, all orders over $50 ship for free.
Thank you so much for skipping. You did that last week, too, and I loved you for it.
I know. InStockTrades.com. Go there. Buy Point
buy
Blank.
Some stuff.
Point Blank's good, too. If you haven't ever read it, it's good.
I'm going to. God
damn it. I wasn't talking directly to you, Mike.
Oh, you were looking at me.
Oh, I was looking at you.
Freaking me out.
Ooh, Mike, you have a part tonight.
Oh, okay. Are you ready for audio ecstasy?
What?
No, I'm just saying. Oh. You guys ever heard me talk? God damn. We are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance to give back to all those people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org. Or call 310-909-7809.
If people, since people can't see me, they didn't realize I just put my sleeping mask on and put my mouth guard in.
Oh, but you know what we forgot?
This is why I never say anything on this
sweet
show.
Sweet slumbering sounds of Mike Norton.
You know what we forgot to tell everyone at the beginning of the show?
What?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
This will come out on Thanksgiving.
From the Crystal Gobbler.
Oh, that's not a fucking gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell.
Gobble, gobble, the motherfucker. Yeah.
Gobble, gobble, jibba, jabba, motherfucker. Yeah.
Scribble, scrabble, gobble, gobble.
Scribble, scrabble, smoke some meth.
So happy Thanksgiving
right, he's
to everyone.
Meth addict.
The Crystal Gobbler.
Oh, so you guys on the forum, like the next day, we have a forum user.
That's right. I expect royalty checks.
Crystal Gobbler.
We are owed.
I know.
We built a whole history. The fucking Jesus. We built the 218 universe.
218 universe.
Who's the Crystal Gobbler's arch nemesis?
We came up with that.
Yeah, we did.
Some pilgrim thing. It was.
Hopefully, it wasn't recording the first
it was like
3 hours.
Or something to do with indie, like corn.
Dr. Purdue.
No, it was a pilgrim thing.
Yeah, it was a pilgrim thing.
I don't know. It must have been.
There are people out there that know.
Must have been fucking genius.
Go check Wikipedia.
Would you shit if there's a Crystal Gobbler Wikipedia?
Oh,
page?
Then I would be suing.
I think I'm a poor.
I would be suing. I was on a jury, and I understand how the law works. Now.
Hey, we never talked about your jury experience.
Yeah, we're not gonna now.
Oh.
We can do that at a later date.
All right,
whenever we
2 weeks from now.
Actually, 2 weeks.
Yeah, we won't. Yeah, we won't have a show next Thursday. We're gonna take the Friday after Thanksgiving off and not do a show. So we won't be back next week.
We're going to go be with our families.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But there will be a Monday episode.
There will be a Monday episode.
And we're talking about the Hero Initiative. Monday officially kicks off our Holiday is for Heroes fundraiser.
With who?
With the Comics Podcast Network in cooperation with the Hero Initiative. And kick it off, I'm not going to be doing the interview.
What?
For Monday, we have a special interviewer and
guest interviewer.
Yes, we're kicking off with the insanely talented Mr. Tim Seeley.
Who
is in the Larry King chair?
You mean Hackslash Tim Seeley?
Hackslash Tim Seeley, and he will be talking to Mr. Lady Death himself, Brian Polito.
Oh well, I'm sure that should be interesting. So, I haven't heard it yet, so I'm sure Tim's a big fan of his stuff. So I'm sure they'll have all sorts of stuff to converse
and that
about.
Will be the first
stuff.
Of
stuff.
Five
horror.
Hero
boobs.
Initiative centric.
I know Tim
boobs.
Likes big
they
boobs.
Both
they
like
both
big
like
boobs.
Big boobs. There's no question about that. Who doesn't really?
Yeah, that's a good point. So
I like big ass.
It's like ice cream. Everybody likes.
So a big month of helping out the Hero Initiative and hopefully bringing you some really fun and informative interviews. So.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Ed, and good night.
I'm done.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy.
For everyone. Have a great holiday weekend. Enjoy the time with your friends, families, read some comic books, eat a lot of turkey, have a good time. We'll be back on Monday with that Hero Initiative interview. We're off next Thursday, but then we'll be back on our regular rotation. In the meantime.
A regular rotation. In between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Holla at your frog, Ribbit.
Bop, bop.
Scribble, scrabble.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone?